Welcome back to the Chris Durham Show. It's been a while. We didn't have an episode last week. I did not inform you until much later in the week. My bad. I just had a crazy busy week. My brother got married. It rained like a motherfucker the past 2 days. So, you know, just shit happened. Some wild college football games this weekend. I'll get into that. Me and Josh didn't do the five-layer burrito picks this week just because, again, I was so damn occupied with doing other shit, I totally forgot to send him the picks out. So our record remains is what it was. I don't even know if I updated the week previous. Like, I did on my own, but I don't know if I posted it or not. Josh went, like, 60%, I believe, and I did 40%. So he gained one on me. But yeah, so I'll go over some college football games. I'll go over the NFL this week so far. And how cruel it can possibly be. Oh, how cruel it can be. You'll know what I'm talking about if you watched stuff yesterday. It was so sad. Oh, fuck, it was sad. But yeah, so... let's jump into the show. All right, so I'm recording this as of Friday morning, before I'm about to post the show. Last night, week 10 of the NFL started. And it started with the Panthers taking on the Falcons in Charlotte, unveiling the all-black uniforms, and goddamn it, we looked good. Go Panthers, baby! Woo! We get the win. Sloppy-ass game in a way. I don't like the play calling we did, but we'll get a lot of runs. Fucking Foreman, fucking... Good for you, buddy. Good for you. You murder it against... The Falcons, both games you played against them. You have my respect. Coach, you got my respect. Fucking, that's all. We're 3-1 in divisional play. And we're only one game right now. Only one game away from taking over the division. That means we need the Seahawks to win this weekend. And we need the Saints to lose this weekend. Seahawks to win, Saints to lose, as in Seahawks beat the Bucks in Germany. Germany. For some reason, the Bucks are favored in that game. I hope they're fucking wrong. Tom Brady got that little bit of a boost from coming back the week before in that last second touchdown against the Rams. I need the Seahawks to fucking win. I need Geno Smith, yo, to come out and play his game. The Panthers win. We move to 3-7 in a record. Hey, I'll take it. I'll fucking take it, man. Because every win feels good. But the one last night against the number one team I hate feels fucking great. And with my son trolling me all week. Because like 2 weeks ago, he asked me who's the black and red team we were playing the Falcons 2 weeks ago. I said, it's Falcons. He goes, Falcons are my favorite. I said, no. No, you can't do that. And because I reacted like that, he keeps saying he's a Falcons fan. He's like, go Falcon. I'm like, no. What the hell are you doing, man? You can't fucking pull for the Falcons. Tracy's like, I think I'm going to buy him a Falcon shirt now. Don't you fucking dare. Don't you fucking dare. That's almost as bad as putting a Tar Heel shirt on his fucking... No. We will not be celebrating the Atlanta Falcons in my household, and we will not be celebrating the UNC Tar Heels in my household, okay? Now, do I respect both franchises? Yes, I respect them. That's why I hate them so much, because they're fucking rivals. Two biggest rivals of my career. Fuck the Falcons. They lose. They only get 15 points. Marcus Mariota gets fucking sacked a bunch. Brian Burns does the hip thrust and says, no flag. Let him go. Let's potty. You know the Key and Peele skit? The fucking thrusts. Brian Burns up there doing the hustle. Thrust. Bam! Put his dick in the air and said, take that, boys! take that. So you're going to hear my week 10 predictions later in the show. You're going to hear me talk about the Panthers. How I'm like, I guess we're going to win, you know. We fucking won. Keep pounding. All right, let's go over this week's Taco Bell five-layer burrito picks. Last week, it was pure fucking chaos. I just didn't have time to do anything with the show. I'll be honest. I was occupado all week. Brother got married. Good times. You know, and a lot of other stuff was going on in the household. And I just couldn't get it done. So we skipped a week. But I posted the results as of last week, as the week before. Josh did a great job. Had a fucking 4 out of 5 week when I only had 2 out of 5. So he starts to gain again. And in his reign of terror, that fucking cocksucker. So this week we got 5 more games. Excited about a couple of them, actually. There was a lot of good games. There was a lot of good games last week. There's a lot of good games this week. But remember, I only picked 5. 5 that I think are a little tougher to bet based on the spread. Because, like, a one that was pretty good was, like, the Auburn game. I forgot who they're facing. But that game is one of those games where you're like, I don't know who's going to fucking win. That would have been a good one to pick on the spread, but it just didn't interest me like some other ones. So here we go. 5 games. First game, I'm going to just give you the Duke game. Duke, Virginia Tech. Duke at home. Duke is favored in this game based on the record alone. Again, we're 6-3. We're having a good year. We're bowl eligible. We're at home. We're playing Virginia Tech, who always gives us a fucking battle. Maybe this year we get shit done, but Virginia Tech's on the mend of getting back to where they need to be. I don't know. But Duke is 9.5-point favorites. I got a feeling that Virginia Tech's going to cover, and they might upset us. But for some reason, my gut's like, Chris, just fucking take Duke. 9.5. You hate picking against your team. We're heavy favorites in this one. Almost double digits. Let's fucking do it, baby. So Duke, I'm taking Duke, 9.5-point favorites. Feels good. Feels good to take that, even though that's probably not going to happen. But you never fucking know. You never know. You got to take chances to come back against Josh. He's going to put me further in the hole, or it's going to be a little extra boost, because I'm pretty sure Josh is going to pick Virginia Tech. All right, so next game is Oklahoma-West Virginia. Oklahoma is not the Oklahoma we know. But for some reason, they are 7.5-point favorites on the road visiting West Virginia. I don't like that. I think West Virginia is pretty decent at home. They're one of those... Man, it's really raining right now. I'm recording this as of Friday morning. West Virginia is one of those scrappy teams that can play really tough against anybody in their division or anybody in their conference. Or can get their ass kicked. Oklahoma is talking the trash, but I think the Mountaineers back it up at home. It's a 12 o'clock game, though. I don't like when they play at 12. This, West Virginia at home is nighttime atmosphere. That's when they really give it their all. But Oklahoma traveling all the way to West Virginia to play at 12 because of the time change. I'm giving the nod to West Virginia. 7.5-point underdogs taking them. All right, this is my game of the week. Because always, you know, third game's always my game of the week. Game of the week is Alabama visiting Ole Miss. Ole Miss only has one loss in conference this year. Alabama is third place in the SEC West. Third place. Holy shit. Right? LSU and Ole Miss is ahead of them. LSU just beating them. So now Alabama has 2 losses in conference play. They need this win badly. They are 11.5-point favorites on the road visiting Ole Miss, who can be scrappy. I'm going to take Ole Miss based on the fact that, again, I need to take a risk. I think Josh is going to pick Alabama just based on they're not going to lose 2 in a row, and they're not going to make it close. They're going to try to take all their frustration out on Ole Miss. And I think because they have that frustration, they're going to make mistakes. And Ole Miss is going to keep up with them, possibly be leading, and towards the end where Alabama pulls away. I still remember Alabama-Texas. Alabama this year is just, it's not as elite as they have been in the past. But their two losses have been one fucking, like, last-minute scores. Last-second scores to win. So they're not bad. They could probably still beat anybody easily if they have a good game. I think Ole Miss covers, though. I'm taking Ole Miss 11.5-point underdogs. I just feel like it's going to be a little bit closer than what the spread says. Last two games, TCU on the road to Texas, undefeated TCU. They are 7-point underdogs. Texas is looking to say, fuck you guys. We are sick of y'all talking shit in our state. We're undefeated. We're going to the playoffs. Texas is like, fuck you. Hook 'em horns. Let's go. I think Texas wins this game, but I think TCU is going to keep it close and cover. 7-point underdogs. I'm taking TCU unless Texas runs up the score, which they possibly could. It's in Austin. You never fucking know with the Horned Frogs this year, at least. But I'm taking TCU 7-point underdogs to cover. Carolina visiting Wake Forest, an interstate battle. Carolina on top of the ACC Coastal right now. Right now, the favorites to win the ACC, to win the ACC championship and fucking throw a wrench into the gears that is the college football playoffs. But Wake Forest is here to upset them in Winston. It's a night game, Saturday night game. This is prime time, baby. Wake Forest is going to give them one hell of a battle. But Wake Forest is 3.5-point favorites. Carolina's defense is absolute garbage, but their offense is very good. I think Wake Forest may win this game, and I hope they do, because Carolina needs to pretty much lose out for Duke to somehow win the Coastal. Duke has to win out. Carolina has to lose out. Carolina will win this game probably, but Wake Forest will cover. But Carolina, 3.5-point underdogs. I have to take them based on their record. And I don't know why the fuck they're giving Wake Forest the favoritism other than the bad defense from Carolina. But there's going to be a lot of fucking blue in those stands. So, should be an interesting game. But I'm pulling for the Dinks to win. Of course. Basically, I work in Winston. It's the hometown team. No one gives a fuck about Wake Forest and Winston, though. You don't see a goddamn thing about the college anywhere except for right around where the college is. It's fucking pathetic. We have a major Power 5 school in this city, and no one gives a shit about them. It's fucking sad. It's very sad. But go Deacons, but I'm taking Carolina to cover 3.5-point underdogs. All right, that's this week's five-layer burrito picks. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show. Well, college football this weekend was a little unpredicted with some of the scores we got and some of the games we ended up seeing, but some games were quite amazing. I'm just going to go over a couple that were just must-watch TV. Washington was able to upset Oregon State by 3 points, 24-21. The Huskies at home defend home turf and just piss off the Beavers. Ohio State able to beat Northwestern, but they only beat them by 21-7. That high-powered of an offense to be pretty much shut down throughout the game. I don't know if it was a trap game. They were just trying different shit against them to try new plays to get ready for the Michigan game. I don't know. But Ohio State wins 21-7. Texas Tech trying to knock off TCU as an undefeated team. They fail at that, 34-24. Carolina playing Virginia. Virginia was doing pretty good. They had the lead at halftime. I believe it was 14-10 at halftime. Carolina came back, took the lead. Virginia kept trying to battle back, but Carolina able to hold it off. And they were at the goal line anyways towards the end of the game. They just kneeled the ball. They could have scored again, so Carolina won that game. Tulane beats Tulsa, whatever. The Georgia-Tennessee game, Georgia had the entire game under control most of the time. Tennessee tries to rally, but final score 27-13. Athens was just too much for the Vols. So now the college football playoff is fucking scrambled eggs. Like, there's way too many weird scenarios that can happen now, because more than likely, Georgia's going to be in the SEC championship, but because of something else that happened, I don't fucking know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know who they're going to play against. Oregon dominates Colorado. Penn State dominates Indiana. Michigan State upsets Illinois. So Michigan State trying to build back up, even after the controversy of kicking the shit out of Michigan players and ejecting several players, they are still able to go to Illinois and upset them. Kansas upsets Oklahoma State, tears down the field goal post, trolls Tennessee because they already put them back up without a GoFundMe page. That was pretty funny. UCF beats Memphis. And then the game, the overtime game that everyone should have saw. I was at a wedding, so I wasn't able to watch it. But I went back and watched a lot of highlights. What a fucking game. What a fucking game. What turned into, what went from a hardcore defensive game turned into just battle of who wants it more. And LSU pulls off the upset against Alabama in overtime. They score the touchdown, and instead of kicking the field goals to tie it, they go for two to win the game. They get it. They hit the what's it called? The sideline marker, the pylon. They hit the pylon. It's in. Touchdown. Well, two-point conversion. Good. LSU wins. Storm the field. Go crazy. They upset Alabama. Alabama now with two losses. But both losses were to top 10 teams. How is that going to look? Are they still in control of the SEC West? I think so right now. But now them and LSU have a tie record. I believe it's 7-2 apiece now. Wow. The Bayou Bengals get it done. After a weird start of the year, they're back and they have been on a roll lately. Texas beats Kansas State. And the other big game that everyone was like, what the fuck? Notre Dame upsets Clemson, beats their ass 35-14. I think with that loss, that kicks Clemson out of the football playoff. Even if they win the ACC championship and win out, I don't think they should make the college football playoff because of the teams that they're playing. The ACC isn't nearly as good as the SEC. And as much as I want to say that it is, it's just not. And I think the Big Ten has better teams too. I think their one loss is now replaced with whoever loses to Ohio State, Michigan should get Clemson's spot probably. But here's the other conundrum. Georgia undefeated. Tennessee one loss to Georgia, who's undefeated. TCU undefeated. Now you got Bama with two losses. LSU with two losses. Clemson with one loss. Michigan, Ohio State undefeated. You got all these teams in the college football playoff mix-up. What could happen? What couldn't happen? There's other teams too, but like Oregon number 8, but Oregon is still living off of the beatdown they got Georgia at the beginning of the year. And the CFP knows that. It's just, it's going to be confusing. It's going to be confusing on how they do it. I wish the 12-team field would be now instead of like in a year or two. That they need to get that up ASAP because I think Alabama with two losses, if they're not in the playoffs, they could probably still win the entire thing. That they're that good of a team. But it's based on how you do throughout the year. But look at their two losses. Alabama lost by a last-second field goal to Tennessee and lost in overtime to a two-point conversion to LSU. That's it. Every other loss they've had, every other win they've had have been pretty good. So Alabama is still in the top four teams of the nation, in my opinion, even after losing this weekend. LSU, they're going to jump up. I don't know if they should jump over Alabama, but they did just beat them. And it may have been in Death Valley at nighttime where it's almost impossible to get it going. That was just a good game. A really good game. Excuse me. So, it's going to be very interesting on how they do it. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see what happens after next week. But yeah, and NC State beats Wake Forest. That was a big one. The Pack 30-21. They're trying to battle back and take the Atlantic now that Clemson lost. I don't know if they'll be able to, but you know, there's still a chance. There's still a chance. Duke beats Boston College on Friday night by 7. Look, we're second in the Coastal, but because Carolina keeps winning, Carolina has to lose out now for Duke to. I think so. I think Carolina still has 3 more conference games. It's not looking good. It's looking like Carolina's got the Coastal on lock. But Duke keeps winning. Duke is 6-3 now. We're bowl eligible. Our 3 losses have all been by 1 score. Carolina scored within the last minute, touchdown to take the lead. We lose in overtime to Georgia Tech by a field goal, and we lose to Kansas by 8. So all 1 score games. We beat Northwestern. We've had some good wins this year. And we beat the shit out of Miami, which is not saying that much, though. No top-tier opponent we've beaten. So, but it's a much, 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 much better team for the Blue Devils than expected this year. So I'm very fucking excited about it. Coach Elko has done his job and more. And we're going to get some better recruits next year. So I'm very excited to see how that's going to go. All right. Let's make one thing perfectly clear. Football was my favorite sport to watch on television. But college basketball runs strong in my heart. That is, I am more passionate about NFL, but just barely over college basketball. And you guys all know I'm a big Duke fan, so tonight was the start of the NCAA men's college basketball. Duke played at 7, Carolina played at 9. I'm recording this on Tuesday, so it was Monday night. Let's just do the Carolina game first. Carolina taking on UNC Asheville. They're number 1 in the country, expected to dominate. A little sloppy, but like, it's the first game. You aren't expecting the perfect teamwork. Like, you saw that team last year. They started off like, I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen. We suck. Too many random upsets. Then all of a sudden they got it together. And they clicked, and they knew what they had, and they just rolled with it. Well, that's how it started. That's how it's looking right now. They were good. They had really good plays, good teamwork. It's just Asheville had enough momentum to kind of hang with them for some of the game. You know, what they didn't like necessarily pull away like they probably should have, but you can tell it's going to be a really good team, as predicted. You have basically the same team as fucking last year, along with new recruits and NIL money. You're going to have good talent at that school. Michael Jordan played there. He's going to throw out money. You're going to have really good talent at that school. So Carolina gets their first win of the season. You know, we'll see what happens. They have some tougher games in the future, so we'll see what happens with them. But they aren't the predicted favorites to win the whole thing this year. Duke taking on Jacksonville. Jacksonville was in the ASUN Championship last year. They did not win, so they weren't in the big tournament. But still, a lot of upperclassmen. A lot of returning people. A lot of height. Big dudes. And at first, Duke was going back and forth with them. They were keeping up. They had the lead for a little bit. It was like, oh, wow, Jacksonville looks pretty good. And Duke just looked kind of like, oh, whoa. We're pushing a little too hard. Let's get our game plan together. Then once Jeremy Roach basically hit 1-3, it was over from there. The team was able to hold on and keep moving forward. And then their second half defense was shut down. Jacksonville didn't score very much. Pretty much blew them out of the water. But Duke's offense, I can see where a lot of these freshmen are going to have to work on stuff. But Mark Mitchell surprised me. Jeremy Roach did a great job. He was hot for a while shooting threes. He got into some foul trouble early, though. So that's the issue with him, is he going to be able to check his defensive pressure? That's something you really have to, like, adjust with the refs, too, early in the season. See what you can do and see what you can't do. See how far you can go, because all the refs are taught to referee the same way. Now, they don't call them the same way, but in somewhat of a unison, they do call somewhat of the same game. So test it out with these, you know, non-conference, you know, smaller team games. Really push it, and maybe that's what he was doing. See what he can and can't get away with. There was just some weird calls where it's just like you can't tell if they even make contact or not, but they blew the whistle based on the reaction of the player. So it looks like the dramatic head whips are going to be back in full going this year. I forgot what you call it, where they fake it out. There's going to be some guys taking drama classes, because they're going to be really good at fucking acting. It seems like the refs are going to favor them more than likely than not. So I don't like that, but we'll see. But Duke gets it done. I was happy with the performance. We're missing the two best recruits we had. They're not playing right now because of injuries. So without them, we still look good. And I have a lot of faith in the team. It sucks because it's just such a young team. You know, you have to teach them early, and you have to like really get them clicking early on, or it's just going to be too late towards the end of the year. So there is a high standard with Duke, but it's John Shire's first year, so he's 1-0 as a head coach. I'm happy with it. I've always liked Shire, though. I watched him when he played for us. Shire's going to be a good coach, I think, and he may not have the success Coach K had, but who the fuck will? But there is a lot of pressure hanging on him. But man, we got a fucking team this year. So even though it's young, I'm very excited for it. But I think the Duke Carolina games are going to be entertaining, as they are every year. I think they're going to be entertaining this year. But Carolina is definitely favored to win the ACC and to probably win the fucking tournament with the team they got. There's no excuses. They have the best assembled team right now. A lot of people go, ooh, Gonzaga, Kansas. No, it's Carolina this year. They have the returning guys. They have the recruits coming in. They seem to really like their coach. So it's on them now. It's on them to fulfill their, quote, destiny. But I hope they fail miserably. All right, let's go over some games that happened in the NFL this week. Let's start off with the Thursday night game. Eagles took on the Texans. Eagles remain undefeated by beating the Texans 29-17. The Texans kind of was there. They were fucking there. They were hung in, and then Eagles were able to pull away with it. Panthers-Bengals getting this game over with. This game was fucking shit for the Panthers. The Bengals whooped our ass. PJ Walker was just fucking out of it for some reason. The team just wasn't clicking. We were down 35-0 at the half. They had more points than what we had yards. We only had 32 yards in the first half. Baker Mayfield comes in. We look better. They score one touchdown. We score three touchdowns. Better. But they were also playing probably shit defense, and they weren't giving a fuck. So Panthers will more than likely have Baker Mayfield start next week. I hope so. This is pretty much his last chance to be seen as a starting quarterback, even though we just activated Sam Darnold. So that's going to be interesting. But the Panthers lose. The Panthers move to 2-7. Fuck. Oh, my God. That's such a bad record. 2-7. It's sad. And my playoff hopes are... They're not good right now. There's still a chance, but they're not good. Chargers take on Falcons. This game was a lot closer than it probably should have been. Falcons were in control most of the game, but the Chargers hung in there. Chargers were going for the game-winning drive, fumble the ball. Falcons get it, fumble it again. Chargers get it back. We're able to drive down the field, get a winning field goal. Chargers win 20-17. That's great for our division because we need the top teams to lose. Atlanta loses. They're not in the lead anymore. Dolphins-Bears. Dolphins play a hell of a game. But the Bears story is Justin Fields can fucking run the ball. Sets the regular season record for rushing yards per game. It's like 178 or something like that. Fucking dude was going crazy. Passed it pretty well too, but it wasn't enough. The Bears defense was just allowing way too much to fucking happen as Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and Mike Gesicki and Tua fucking just blow them up 35-32. A lot of points in that one. But there is still promising. You still feel good for the Bears because they may actually have an offensive attack. The Bears normally don't have a quarterback like that, so it's kind of exciting to be in Chicago right now. Packers-Lions, game of the week in my opinion. The Packers were completely shut down by the Lions, only getting 3 field goals. The Lions do what they need to do, and they win 15-9. Dan Campbell wants a beer after that one. And he is now 2-1 against the Packers in his career as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Congratulations. A winning record. He is 66% win percentage against the Packers right now. Congratulations. Colts, Patriots, Sam Ehlinger quarterback. They don't fucking do nothing. Only 3 points. They fire their head coach after the game. Patriots win 26-3. The Patriots own the Colts, man. Jets, Bills, another surprise. Jets defense step up. Josh Allen plays like shit. Jets get it done. And no interceptions from Zach Wilson. I think that's the biggest deciding matter with the Jets is if Zach Wilson has an okay game. He can have a very mediocre game. As long as he doesn't turn the ball over, they have a chance of winning every game they are playing this year. And especially against the Bills. 20-17 final. Jets win. Vikings, Commanders, a good defensive battle, but you can't stop Kirk Cousins and this offense. They're able to drive and get the game-winning score. 20-17 is final. Vikings beat the Commanders. Raiders, Jaguars. Raiders had this game in the bag. Devontae Adams and Derek Carr were clicking so fucking well in the first half, including 2 touchdowns and 9 passes for 140 yards or some shit like that. Second half, 1 pass, 0 yards. Fucking Raiders again can't close. Josh McDaniels on the chopping block already as a first-year head coach. What the fuck? This team has amazing talent. Derek Carr is a decent quarterback. He is basically Matt Ryan, okay? He can win you games, but if you don't help him, he's not going to fucking win you games. Jaguars win this, and Etienne is the guy at the running back position for the Jaguars. 27-20 final. Seahawks, Cardinals. Seahawks do it again. They upset another team. For some reason, the Cardinals were favored. Seahawks win 31-21. Geno Smith and Pete Carroll just fucking click together. They do what they got to do, and that defense is very good. Watch out for Seattle. They have been sneaky good all fucking year long. And I expect that to continue. Rams-Bucks, this was a shit game, but it ended up being really cool at the end. Just shit football all day long. And then at the very end, Tom Brady gets another game-winning drive touchdown. The Buccaneers win 16-13. That sucks for the NFC South because now the Buccaneers take the lead at whatever record they have. And I think the Panthers are now either 2 games or 3 games behind first place. It's going to be tough to come back. Chiefs Titans, this game goes to overtime. The Titans didn't fucking pass. They just kept running the ball. Run, 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 run. Well, when you do that, you milk the clock, yes, but you also have low scoring and not enough scoring and gave Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense enough time to get down the field and get what they need to do to tie it up, to take it to overtime. Chiefs get the ball, win it with the field goal. And that's it. 20-17, Chiefs win. And then last night, the Ravens taking on the Saints. The Saints were just shook up. The Ravens defense were able to stop them. They only scored 13 points. Ravens did what they had to do early in the game. They win 27-13. And that was this week's NFL games. So if you look at the teams that are out right now, you have to look at the favorites and who's more than likely going to go to the Super Bowl. The Eagles are the favorites of the NFC right now just because they're undefeated. But based on who they've played, it's not as impressive as it should be, but it's still very impressive. 8-0 is a huge accomplishment no matter who you beat because every single team in the NFL can beat the other team. Any given Sunday, an NFL team can win a game. You just need a little bit of luck on your side. Well, the Philly Eagles have had a lot of luck, and they've gotten it done, and Jalen Hurts looks great, and this whole fucking offense and defense look tremendous together. So Eagles are favored out of the NFC, and out of the AFC, I'm probably going to have to roll with the Chiefs right now, just because you can never count out Patrick Mahomes. The Bills are also looking good. They had a bad game, but they do have a bad game every once in a while. Josh Allen will bounce back and be back, but the Ravens are also very good, and their defense is starting to get better. Their offense is still always up there. So those are the three teams I'm looking at. I do think the Ravens are going to win their division pretty easily. I don't know how they're going to do against the Chiefs and the Bills, though, if it comes down to playoff time, if they do face them. Good matchups in the AFC. NFC, it's a toss-up. Dallas is good, but I think Philly owns that division right now, and they've already had their head-to-head matchup, and that's the only really good game I give for Philly. It's like, they did beat Dallas, and Dallas is a good team this year, so give it to them. They deserve to be 8-0, and they deserve to be the leaders in that division right now. It might change later in the year. It might not. They might fucking go undefeated. Who fucking knows? But it's right as of right now, if I have to predict it, it's Eagles versus Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I don't like the Christmas colors going against each other. But that's as of right now, those are the two best teams right now. All right, it's time for my Week 10 NFL picks. I'm going to give you the games. I'll tell you the picks based on the spread. You can play along if you want to. I don't give a fuck. First game is Thursday night game. That's tomorrow night. I'm recording this as of Wednesday morning. The Panthers in Charlotte with the all-black uniforms, including the black helmets. It's the first time this uniform has ever been worn. We have notoriously been bad with the all-black uniforms in the past. But now with the black helmet, are we going to be worse? We're 2.5-point underdogs. The last time we played the Falcons 2 weeks ago, it was a fucking awesome game. Other than the kicker not making the goddamn kick. Kicks. Could have won it twice. Couldn't make a fucking field goal. This is the redemption game for Eddie Pinheiro. Does the Panthers have what it takes? The Falcons are thinking playoff hopes because they still have a chance. Panthers are like 3 games behind in first place now. They have to win this game. Steve Wilkes just fired 2 coaches to prove a point. Are we going to continue to tank or are we going to win? I want to say we win, but I don't know. But I'm taking Panthers 2.5. point underdogs to cover that game. Seattle, Tampa Bay, go on the road in Tampa Bay. Seattle 2.5-point underdogs. I think just Seattle in general is a better team than Tampa Bay. Tampa Tom is going to have something for them. I think Tampa Bay might win, but it'd be by a smidge. But Seattle's going to give them a hell of a fight. I'm taking 2.5-point underdog, Seattle. Vikings, Bills, Josh Allen, elbow injury. Vikings on a roll. Ike's Kirk Cousins, gotta go with them. I'm taking Vikings 7.5-point underdogs on the road. Detroit visiting Chicago. Chicago has their offense is starting to click, but Detroit, man. I don't fucking know about Detroit. I don't know. They're a wishy-washy team. Their defense is trash too. Could be high scoring. I'm taking 3.5-point underdog Detroit Lions, but I think Chicago wins this game. Denver on the road in Nashville to face the Titans. Titans 3.5-point favorites. I think they cover that. Just the Titans are a different team. They should have beat the Chiefs last week. Even though they're going to do nothing but run the fucking ball against this Denver defense, it's going to eventually pay off, and they'll probably win 14-7. Some low-scoring bullshit. Jaguars on the road at the Chiefs. Chiefs 9.5-point favorites. I'm taking the Chiefs just simply because they struggled with the Titans last week. They were able to pull it off in overtime. I think they released the Kraken on top of this Jaguars defense, and Patrick Mahomes wins by 2 touchdowns. The Browns on the road facing the Dolphins. Dolphins 3.5-point favorites. Tua is undefeated as a full-time player. If he plays the entire game, the Dolphins have not lose. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are just getting started. I think they continue this beast of a performance, and the Dolphins win in a great manner. Myles Garrett, got to watch out for him early on. I think Browns are leading this game into half, but you're going to see a flip-flop where the Dolphins just take off with it. Texans visiting the Giants. Giants have been great at keeping the game close and winning it at the last second. Therefore being said, Texans are 6.5-point underdogs. I think Giants win, but Texans cover, taking the Texans. The Saints on the road at Pittsburgh. It's a 1 o'clock game. It is, Pittsburgh is struggling this year, but the Saints are also struggling. Coming off that loss on Monday night, getting kind of beat up by the Ravens. The NFC North, or AFC North, is going to do it again to them. I think Pittsburgh wins this game. Not only wins, but covers 2.5-point underdogs. They need a win to feel better. Kenny Pickett's got to get something going on, and he will do it against the Saints. I'm taking Steelers 2.5-point underdogs. Colts, with Jeff Saturday is the new head coach. No one on the coaching staff has ever called a single play in their life. Colts are only 5.5-point underdogs against the Raiders. Interim coaches always give you a little boost. Not against the Raiders. The Raiders are fucking tired of losing. They have a team with playoff potential. I don't know if they have enough time to come back, but they have to start here. If the Raiders lose this game, they'll probably have a new coach by the end of the year. Josh McDaniels, or Daniels, whatever his name is. He has got to win this game. I think Raiders win this game, but win this game very well. I think they win by 2 or more touchdowns. Devontae Adams, fantasy, circle that. He's on my team, so hopefully he just fucking goes off. They did great in the first half last week, and then just boop, fell down. They got to keep up that shit. Raiders, 5.5-point favorites taking them. Dallas on the road at Green Bay. Dallas, 5.5-point favorites visiting Green Bay. Green Bay is broken. Green Bay doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, and now they have to go against a very stout Dallas defense. If Green Bay's going to turn around, this would be the game to do it, but I don't have faith in them. 5.5-point favorites, Dallas. I'm taking them, but it could be a very, very good game. Cardinals visiting the Rams. Rams are trash. The Cardinals are trash. They're both they both only have 3 wins on the year. Cardinals are the underdogs. I'm taking the Cardinals just because it's the spread. It's 3.5 underdogs. I think they lose this game, but by 3 or less points. I think it will be close. It will be entertaining. Cooper Kupp's going to do something stupid, and then the rest of the game is just going to be trash for the Rams. I'm taking Cardinals 3.5-point underdogs. Let's see. This is the Sunday night game. Chargers on the road at San Francisco. Chargers are technically in the playoffs right now in the 7th seed. So they got the last wild card spot currently. San Francisco building off getting Christian McCaffrey, looking like a better team. They got rid of Jeff Wilson, so there's no like, oh my God, how many running backs are we going to play? Deebo and McCaffrey are going to do great. That relieves Garoppolo tremendously. I do think San Francisco wins, but the Chargers have a way of staying with their opponents, and Justin Herbert is due for a big game. I don't know if he's going to have the receiving talent to do so, especially against this San Francisco defense, but I do see the Chargers competing with them in prime time. I'm taking Chargers to cover but lose, 6.5-point underdogs. And then finally, the Monday night game. Ooh, yeah. Washington Commanders on the road taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles, 10.5-point favorites. I'll tell you right now, Washington is going to cover, and Washington might win. It's a division rival. They're 4-5. They're not necessarily shit. They're not good. Heineke's still the quarterback. It's one of those teams where it's like, they could upset somebody. Why not be Philly? Now, I do think Washington's going to cover the spread, even if Philly wins. But Washington might sneaky beat the Eagles. You are hearing it first on the Chris Durham Show. I think Washington has the potential to beat the Eagles at home. It could be one of those weird games where the team just struggles, something stupid happens, and they fall apart. But it's all up to covering A.J. Brown. I don't know if the Washington Commanders can do so. The Eagles might win by 21 points. I don't know. It's a toss-up with me. Because I haven't been able to study the Eagles that much, I know they're undefeated. And I know the Commanders are 4-5. But I can see this happening. It happens every year. A division rival beats a much better opponent. I think this is the one, the first big one this year that everybody goes, holy shit, Commanders will win this game against the Eagles. I'm predicting it now. All right, but that's this week's picks. Let's see how they go. I don't know, but I think the matchups are pretty good. I'm excited for the Panthers Thursday night. It is on Amazon Prime, so there is an option to record, I think so, but I just haven't figured it out yet. I haven't played with it that much, so I'm going to try to watch it live. Excuse me, whether it be on my phone or whatever. I'm going to be hanging out with my kid the whole time, so it's like, am I going to be able to watch it? I don't know, but we'll see. Go Panthers, keep pounding. We still have somewhat of a chance to win the division. I don't think it's going to happen now, but you never fucking know. Well, election's over pretty much. 98% reported in, and Ted Budd will continue to be the Senate guy. That fucking guy. Look, I mean, he won fair and square. There was like 100,000 more votes than Sherry Beasley, so it is what it is. And again, it shows on the map that the rural areas, not the inner city areas, vote red. City areas vote blue. I don't know if it has to do with education, perhaps. A lot of people in inner cities are educated. A lot of people go, well, there's a lot of black people that live in inner cities. There is a lot of black people that live in cities. There's a lot of white people that live in cities, too. It's not a race thing. Yet, Sherry Beasley just happened to be black. She thinks abortion should still be legal. Fucking Ted Budd's a piece of shit. But he won fair and square, so. But since I voted, I went out and voted, and it took me 3 fucking minutes to vote. If you didn't vote, you have no right to bitch. No right. And if you did vote and it didn't go your way, you can bitch now. I'm gonna bitch. I'm gonna be that guy. Because I can. Because I voted. Didn't vote. Fuck you. You can't say a fucking thing about any political status of anything because you didn't get out and vote. Oh, well, I didn't have time. There was early voting. Could have went then. Could have made time. Like I said, it took me 3 fucking minutes. Just pretend you were stuck in traffic for 3 extra minutes. I literally parked at the First Presbyterian Church in Moxville. I walked inside. I immediately walked up to the table, said my name. Bro gave me a paper to sign, gave me a sticker, walked over, voted with my little Q-tip on the fucking machine, took the card out, slid into the other thing. I'm out the fucking door. 3 minutes. Did not take me long. I knew exactly who I was voting for. Might have all possibly been blue votes, except for the ones where there were no Democratic people running, and it was just Republicans running by themselves, basically. So they got my vote because they technically needed, I had to vote for them. But it may have been that way. But either way, it took me 3 minutes to do it. And even if you have to take your time and look for every single person, like, I can't remember any of these names. Wait, I saw their sign in front of my gas station. That's literally how people vote, though. They look at the names and they think, who have I seen on the side of the road? I'm going to vote for them. So advertising is very much key in elections, which is stupid, but that's how it is. Money buys you elections. You can fucking brainwash people by advertising your name fucking everywhere. It works. It does work. It 1,000% works. That's why companies spend billions of dollars on advertising their products. Politicians are the same fucking way. If you can advertise yourself in some way to get your name out there, to get your name remembered, whether it be a cool fucking slogan, Chris Durham, get it Durham. Yeah. Oh, no, that's bad. Chris, I'm going to get this shit done, Durham. Oh, I remember Chris, I'm going to get that shit done, Durham. People will remember that. Now, that would never work in real life, but something like that, whether it be a rhyme, whether it be a funny picture on your political thing, your sign has to stick out. Your name has to be remembered in some way. Ted Budd is very easy to remember. It's short and it's fucking sharp and you remember it. Sherry Beasley, I kept forgetting her fucking name, doesn't roll right. So just based on names alone, Ted Budd was probably going to fucking win. That's the way it is, especially for older people that don't know a fucking thing about the politicians and they just stick to their voting party, which I do now. I didn't used to stick to just Democratic votes, but anybody that backs this conservative fucking wave that's happening where everything has to just fucking be crazy into religion and, you know, just it's just super right. Right-leaning. There is no, like, in-between anymore. It's fucking weird, dude. This car just ran a red light. Stupid ass. Stupid asshole. Sorry. I got hit, too. So, I can't vote Republican right now. I just can't. And that's where it's led to now. It's like, vote Republican. Save America. Vote Republican. And it's like, I've seen those signs, and it's like, what the fuck is wrong with America? Everybody keeps going, oh, make America great again. And fucking years ago, y'all used to say this is the best country in the fucking world and was proud to say it. Now you're saying it's shit? It's not a shitty country. This is still 1,000% better than the majority of countries out there. You have the freedom to do pretty much whatever the fuck you want. Like, quit bitching about it. Quit bitching about it. Just because more like liberals' ideas and stuff can be heard now than before. You're hearing things, you're seeing things that you've never seen in your previous life. Oh my God, there's gay people everywhere. Yeah, because now they can come out because they're actually being defended by people. They're not being pushed to the side like they're fucking outcasts. That goes for a lot of things. And now because things are being said more often, the more extremists are coming out. And that's why this whole fucking Roe versus Wade thing, when it turned down, it's like, we are going way fucking backwards. What the hell is going on? This. And when the most people that point to religion as the main thing, it's like, fuck you. You do not get to tell me what religion I believe in. You do not get to tell me how I fucking do things. You don't get to tell me how I control my own goddamn body. That's bullshit, because what if I was a Muslim, okay? What if I was a Jewish person? Just because I don't believe in your Bible doesn't mean I don't have the right to be a fucking American. The whole point of this country was founded for religious freedom, so we don't have to pay taxes to the king for the fucking, the Church of England. And the King James Bible, as much cut up as it is from the original Bible, it's still the main one being used, at least in the South. People live their life by it. And it's like, I can't get into that because then I look bad and I offend people. But fuck you if you're offended. But yeah, so if you didn't vote, you can't bitch. And if you did vote and your personal loss, like I did, you can bitch. And we are not going to see any changes in the state now because of Ted Budd. It's just going to kind of remain the same. And people are going to keep going, let's make America great again. Well, this motherfucker ain't doing nothing. He ain't going to do nothing. So it's not going to get great if you don't think it's great right now. People are stupid.